Well, hey everyone, good morning. Good morning. Much better. You're doing the offering. I get it. You're trying to catch up and everything like that. Good to be with you guys this morning. Really, just so exciting. I mean, it is just enthusiastic, you know, just to watch these kids and just how excited they are about Jesus. Usually I talk to the adults, the grown-ups in this room, and then you guys are down the hall in our special children's ministry. That's usually what we do. But today, I'm going to talk to you kids about what you taught me this week and about Jesus, and all the adults and the grown-ups in the room can just listen in. But today's message, this is all about you, and I'm going to listen to you guys, or I'm going to speak to you guys directly, okay? So kids, this moment is for you. Now, one of the things when our kids get a gift, like a birthday gift or a Christmas gift, after you open that gift, kids, what do you do? After you open the gift, what do you do? That's my kids on cue. They know. Mama taught them good. All right. So, you say thank you. This week, kids, you got a gift. There is a lot of people who worked very hard to give you the gift of VBS this week. And so, since you got a gift, maybe the first thing we should do is thank them. So I'm going to show you all the people, the 45 volunteers that it took to make VBS happen. And that's not even counting the volunteers who like decorated and gave of their week and stuff like that. So kids and grownups in the room, can we thank everybody on that screen and the people around you? Yep. If you see someone in a blue shirt, say thank you because they took off of work this week. Think about that. They took off of work this week, used vacation time to make VBS happen. It is a spectacular thing. So thank you guys so much. Now kids, every day, I sat and I listened to you guys and you talked about how when life is dark,
shine Jesus light.
And I heard you say that over and over and over. And you started teaching me some things. And there's this little, like, there's this time where Jesus, there's a story, it's a true story in a book we call the Bible, where Jesus was talking about, you know, just who he was. And he was talking to the grown-ups about what it was like to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said that if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you've got to become like a little child. And so, kids, I want to thank you this week because you taught me that again. And you reminded me that growing up in the kingdom of God is not about getting bigger. It's about getting smaller. In fact, Jesus said, be childlike. And the older we get, kids, the harder it is to remember that childlike does not mean childish. And it's really important. And I want to thank you guys. When I watched you sing and dance, like, it inspired me. In fact, I turned around and I grabbed the arms of some of my friends around me and say, spread your arm and do the airplane just like these kids, because you have a joy that I don't want to lose and I don't want to forget. So thank you guys for that. Now, that phrase that we said over and over all week long, shine Jesus light, we didn't come up with that. Actually, Jesus said that. And sometimes to understand what Jesus says, you can read it and you're like, oh, I get what he means. I understand that. Sometimes, though, it's important to understand what Jesus means is to think about where he said it and when he said it. And when Jesus was talking about shining a light and how he is the light, it actually happened in this festival a long time ago. It's kind of like a holiday in a city called Jerusalem, far, far away, in a country called Israel. And it's this festival or this holiday called, it's a silly word, Sukkoth, okay? And it's like the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. And God told the people of Israel to kind of do a funny thing. He said, when you celebrate this festival, it's like the harvest, okay? So when all the crops grow, it's like our Thanksgiving. They're celebrating Thanksgiving. And he told them to kind of do something silly. He said, everybody in Israel travel to the city of Jerusalem and then camp outside the city in tents to remember how your ancestors wandered in the desert in tents for 40 years. And so everybody would do that. And they would go to Jerusalem and they would camp and they would pitch their tents outside of the city of Jerusalem. And then they had to go inside this thing called the temple. We've got a picture of the temple. Take a look and here's what it looks like. That's the temple. So you can imagine hundreds and thousands of people there. Well, here's the problem. You've got all these people and they want to bring their harvest to the temple, but there's just not enough room. They want to all go inside of that little spot inside of the big courtyard there. And if we zoom in, you can kind of see what it looks like. That's where all the people had to go. Well, there's just not enough room for thousands and thousands of people. So they had to be open after dark. Well, when it's dark and there's no electricity, because this is a long time ago, what did they have to do? Light some candles. So here, can we guys go ahead and turn off the lights back there? Go ahead and turn the lights off, all of them. And I've got a light here. I'm going to light this candle. And let's see what we can learn about what Jesus says about the light of the world. Now imagine this room had candles all the way around. Well, the room would light up. But do you notice how, like, you can see the eyes of Luna here? A little bit more clearly than you can see the eyes of Ringo, because she's closer to the light. And so the closer you are to the light, the brighter things are. And it's the closer you are, you can see where you're stepping, and it's a little bit more dangerous over here. I might fall off the ledge if I'm not careful. But it's with all these candles around that special room that we read these familiar words that we've heard, and many of the grown-ups around you have heard before. These words that you shouted all week. And so here is what Jesus said while he's standing next to all these candles. I am the light of the world. Will you say that with me? I am the light of the world. One more time, nice and loud. I am the light of the world. Good job, kids. I'm the light of the world. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have a light for the rest of their life, the light of life. Now, isn't that interesting? Jesus isn't just saying this out of nowhere. He's standing next to some candles when he says these words. And you kind of wonder, okay, wait a minute. Let's think about candles for a second. What happens to candles? They melt. And if it keeps on melting, what's going to happen? It's going to go out. And so eventually, all these candles that Jesus is standing by will go dark. And he's saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Very interesting. Go ahead and bring the lights back on. I'm going to put this over here. Excuse me, Ringo. Jesus is saying something, and the candles are kind of like our clue of what he's really trying to get at. Now, a couple things, notice what he said. He didn't say, I am a light in the world. He didn't say, I'm one of the lights in the world. Nope. He said, I am the light of the world. There's a university to the state just south of us, and they say that they are the light. And I won't say their name out loud because I know the state that I'm in here, but it means that you're the one, the one. And it's kind of actually, that's a bold statement for Jesus. It's a pretty important statement. I am the light of the world. Me, I'm the only one. There's no other light. And all these other lights will eventually go out, but I'm the light that will never go out. So if you don't ever want to be in the dark, come close to me. I am the light. Follow me. That's what Jesus is saying. And then I thought about our phrase that we shouted all week, where we said, when life is dark,
shine Jesus' light.
I don't know why you adults aren't doing that. Shine Jesus' light. Okay? And I remembered something I learned. It was actually, we learned it the day where we talked about Luna. But I didn't learn it from Luna. I learned it from this guy we saw all week, Pasternot. No, listen, this guy, every morning he started out with a very interesting fact. And he's just a smart guy. handsome, humble, and so every day, Pastornaut had these really interesting facts. By the way, I thought the name Pastornaut was very creative. I mean, Pastornaut. Anyway, and he always had these facts. And he had facts like he told us how cold it was in space, or how fast meteors travel, how many planets there are in our solar system. But then one day, Pastornaut told us that the moon was 1,000 miles around, and he told us that the moon doesn't shine. The moon actually isn't a light source. Nope. We learned that the moon gives off light because of the sun. So the sun shines really far away. This is not to scale, but the sun shines really far away. And then what happens, kids? It hits the moon, and then it bounces down and hits the earth. And we're seeing a reflection. So the sun is always lighting up half of the moon, like if, you know, it's a ball, right? So it's always lighting up half the moon. But sometimes we don't see the whole side of the moon. And that's why if it looked like that over your house at night, you would see a crescent moon like that. That's what you would see over your house. And that's what Pastornaut told us, and that's what Luna told us. And I started to think about this phrase, shine Jesus light, and it makes sense. When we say shine Jesus light, we're not saying work really hard and shine. We're not saying that. We're not saying shine your light or shine a light. We're saying shine Jesus light. But it's Jesus who shines. He's the light of the world. And we just reflect it. Jesus shines, we reflect. And so the phrase really we should remember is be the moon, reflect the sun. Now it's campy and that's cheesy, but you won't forget it. Be the moon, reflect the sun. That's it. And that's what you're called to do. When we say shine Jesus light, we're not saying be kind for kindness' sake. Don't be kind because being kind is a good thing, though it's a really good thing to do. No, no, no. What we're saying is be kind because Jesus is kind. And so just let Jesus be kind through you and be kind to others. Or we're not saying like give like Jesus gave, you know, because Jesus is a really giving guy. Generous is the big fancy word. We're not saying be generous and give a lot because that's a good thing to do. No, no, no. We're saying be generous because Jesus gives a lot. Let Jesus give through you. Shine Jesus' light. Let him reflect off of you. And here's how you know. Here's how you know if you did it. When people see you being generous and giving a lot, or when people see you being kind, they think of Jesus. They want to know more about Jesus. They want to step closer to the light. And why did you do that? Tell me more about this Jesus. That's what we mean when we say shine Jesus' light. And that's how you know if you shine Jesus' light. Do people see Jesus? So thanks, kids. Thanks for teaching me that this week. Now, parents, if I can talk to you for a second, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for giving of a week and letting your kids come to church for a week every day. Thank you for being here this morning. Because, listen, in decades from now, mom, dad, grandpa, it won't matter what school they went to. I'm sorry, it won't. Decades from now, it won't matter what brand name clothing they wore. Decades from now, it won't matter if they had a Nintendo Switch or not. Decades from now, it won't matter if they made the select travel team or not. It won't. Those are all lights that will eventually extinguish. They might give light for a little while, but they will eventually run out. And those things are good, but they're not the light. And don't forget that. Because there's going to come a moment, as hard as it is as parents or grandparents or just loved ones to think of, as hard as it is to fathom, eventually the kids that we want to protect so much are going to have their own hard times. Eventually the kids we love are going to get their own health diagnosis that scares them. Eventually, the kids that we love so much are going to have a broken relationship or a strained relationship. Eventually, the kids that we care about are going to have hard finances. As much as you want to protect them, it's true. And in that moment, when those tragedies happen in their life, when life is dark, those lights won't help. But the light will. And so thank you. Thank you for letting your kids come closer to Jesus this week. Why? Because the more they know Jesus, the better they show Jesus. The better they know Jesus, the better they reflect Jesus. And so thank you. Because they're going to be able to say, it's okay. Even when life is dark, I can shine Jesus' light. And the most important gift that you can give to your kids, period, is for them to know Jesus well enough to fall in love with him and call him their best friend. It's the most important thing you can give your kids. Now, here at St. Mark, one of our vision statements is, we will be a church the next generation calls their own. That's it. This is their church. I watched kids bike to church today and park their bikes in front of the church because this is their church. And kids are handing out bulletins and kids are dancing up on stage because this is their church. And sometimes that means that we kind of interact with them. Usually we have children's ministry down the hall and I talk to the grownups in here and all the kids are down the hall getting an amazing age-appropriate lesson from our amazing volunteers. But our volunteers also need a break this summer and they need a chance to like regroup and create content for the year ahead. And so in the month of July and August, kids don't have children's ministry. We want kids in here. And mom, dad, it still matters. Bring your kids back. More is caught than taught than you realize, okay? And when your kids come here and it's noisy, good. We love the sound of a noisy church. That's the sound of a growing church. We'll have activities for the kids during church. We want them to be in worship with their families. Studies show that that's really important. We'll do fun things for them like activity kits, or I'll play I Spy during a message. But we want your kids here. Why? Because we want them to know. One more time, kids. This is your last chance to shout it out together, okay? When life is hard, amen. Will you guys pray with me? Heavenly Father, first of all, we need to say we're sorry. We are sorry that we lose that innocent joy of kids. That somehow as we get older, we get too smart or something, that we can't have the pure joy, that childlike faith that you want. And so forgive us for that, Lord. And thank you for your forgiveness. And Jesus, thank you so much for the volunteers this week. Thank you so much for everything that happened this week. Thank you for the kids that were here this week. Thank you for the kids that were here this day. And thank you for the parents that made it all possible. We pray, God, that our kids will fall in love with you so much they call you their best friend. And Lord, it seems fitting when people asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he didn't tell them all these amazing names to call you. He said to start out by calling you our Father. And so because you don't have any grandkids, we're all your little kids. We join our voices together in the words your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.